Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Let's see how many times tonight I remember to turn the microphone on before I start talking. For some reason, that was the issue that I kept running into on last night's show, my first show back from vacation. I kept forgetting to turn my microphone on. So I'd be talking away and you guys had no idea. It's kind of like when you're on a cell phone, it happens periodically, and you're telling a story because, you know, it's your turn to talk and you got stuff to say. You're telling a story, it turns into a long story, longer than what you expected, and you finally wrap up, you get to the end of the story, the payoff, and it's silence on the other end of the phone. And then you look down and you realize, oh, well, there's no one on the phone. Whoopsie. And so you call back and you say, oh, I was just talking away. Did you hear my story? Oh, no, the last thing I heard was, so, why does it happen to me so often? I can't be the only one. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks so much for tuning in. Wherever you happen to be at this particular moment, we're live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need an expert to help navigate the home loan process, Rocket can. We've got some good, you know, my technical word for highlights, storylines. One big word that just essentially encapsulates all of it. Are you ready? Stuff. We've got some good stuff. Think double stuff Oreos. That's what we got for you on this edition of the show. And as much as I tried to stuff, now stuff being a verb there, to stuff everything I possibly could into my first show back, it wasn't possible. I didn't get to everything that I wanted to get to, and so I made a list of some of the leftovers that I want to make sure we hit on tonight's show, like ratings. So because I left right after the first round of the NFL draft, I didn't have a chance to talk about how the ratings looked and what TV viewership was like. And also had a chance to research the numbers for the Kentucky Derby, even as there is a major black cloud over the Hall of Fame trainer, Bob Baffert, who is somehow blaming the wokeness of our cancel culture for his horse being under fire. I don't get it. I tried, but I don't get it. So you'll hear him explain it. And so we're going to get to those two kind of topics that I always like to keep you abreast of because I think ratings and TV viewership are something that constantly changing right now in 2021. And that stretches back now a few years, but really TV viewership in sports and in every other genre has been affected dramatically by the pandemic. What hasn't been affected dramatically by the pandemic? I tell you, every time I walk through the grocery store, and I did on Sunday afternoon for a couple of minutes. Oh, actually, and I went to Rite Aid. It was Rite Aid, Walgreens. Aren't they owned by the same company? It was one of them. I walked through a drugstore on Monday afternoon. Penny and I went out for a little ride. She was okay with getting back in the car. I was pleasantly surprised. I thought after 12 hours and 850 miles behind the wheel and with her in the back seat on Saturday that she was not going to be ready to get back in the car, but she was. So we took a little ride. We had to go to the vet and pick up some more meds for my poor old lady. She's coughing again, so I had to get some more antibiotics. And then we stopped at the drugstore, and I can't help it. Am I the only one who still does this? I checked the paper goods aisle to see if there's toilet paper and paper towels. Maybe I'm the only one who does it. Now, I've stopped looking for hand sanitizer because I feel like I have a year's supply. All right, it's not that dramatic, but I do have plenty at home, and I also have plenty of hand soap. And I've got more wipes than I can use in a month. So I've got plenty of that. But for whatever reason, the pandemic has now caused me to have FOMO when it comes to toilet paper. And that's one area in your life where you don't want to be missing out. Toilet paper, as we know from the last 15 months. How did I get on that? I have no idea. Anyway, that's the beauty of this show. I sometimes take a turn, an exit ramp off the information superhighway, and then I realize that I'm lost. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio and on Facebook. And why am I telling you this? Because I finally put up photos from vacation. And I'm sorry that I didn't have an opportunity to get to them before Monday, but I finally did it. And I'm very proud of myself. They're organized. They look good. I put captions on the photos. And so I'm glad that I can finally share those with you. And I know many of you have found them, but if you didn't, please check them out on our Facebook page. There are three posts with four photos each. You can do the math. If you haven't checked them out or you've only seen one of the posts, just head to our Facebook page. And all you got to do is scroll down, because following the gorgeous picture of my Grammy Helen, which is pinned to the top of the page, we've got three series of photos, and they all come from vacation, and they're organized very well. And you'll see Penny's beautiful sandy mug. She's my favorite beach bum. So check those out, because I promised you that I would do it, and I finally delivered on my promise. And also on Twitter, A-Law Radio, I finally had a chance to put up the photos of the tree graveyard on Hunting Island in South Carolina. If you weren't with us at the end of our last show, you maybe want to get the podcast, but I could probably tell the story a little bit later. But I went kayaking, and we ended up in what's a tree graveyard. It's amazing. It's spooky, and it's super cool. And so I took a bunch of photos from the tree graveyard when we got out of our kayaks. And this is me and Jake, the college boy. And he's so nice. And I posted those photos on Twitter. So they're on Twitter, A-Law Radio, or you can check out the photos that I put up on our Facebook page. I'm very proud of myself. I actually spent, I kid you not, producer Dave, listen to this, 4 hours on Monday catching up on social media and other work emails and everything else. Oh, my goodness. I really wanted to take a nap after that, but there was no time because of all the games that were taking place on Monday. I also decided, in lieu of a nap, that probably a pot of chili was more in order. The temps are still in the 40s at night in my neighborhood, and so I feel like chili is still, well, it's still necessary, or it still works for this, I guess we could call it mid-spring now. So I made some chili on Monday, and that helped me to defeat the Monday blahs and the way too much time spent on social media. But I did it. It's done. It's out there. So go check it out, please, and make me feel better about all the effort that I put into it. Nah, you guys are worth it. Thank you for all of your messages, tweets, and Facebook posts about last week. You're very kind. You don't have to tell me that you miss me, but I really do appreciate it. You're very sweet. 855-212-4227. That's not going to prevent me from taking vacation in the future, though. I hope you know. 855-212-4CBS. That's our toll-free line. And I'm excited to launch into what is the latest from the world of sports. So before I spent all this time on social media organizing photos and yada, 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 and before I went on my little jaunt with Penny to do some errands on Monday, do you know what I did? I woke up. I looked at my phone, because that's what I do. It's a really bad habit. I wish I could go the first, say, 10 minutes without looking at my phone. But actually, looking at my phone helps me wake up. I'm not a great morning person, even if my morning is 3:30 in the afternoon. And so looking at my phone helps me to kind of, I don't know, my brain. It gives my brain a jump start. So I looked at my phone, and what do you suppose that I saw? A notification from CBS Sports that gave me some serious flashbacks. I was thinking, wait, what year is this? Did I travel back in time during my vacation? The headline from CBS Sports: Tim Tebow set to sign a contract with the Jacksonville Jaguars. Now, I'm going to have producer Dave look this up for me specifically. But wasn't it about 10 years ago that Tebow was rumored to be choosing between the Jaguars and the Jets? What year? Tell me this. Because it was Rex Ryan who was still the head coach. What year did Tim Tebow, as the third string quarterback, hold a press conference in a Jets uniform? Or Jets, he was in Jets colors. Because I'd never in my lifetime seen a press conference for a backup quarterback. But that's what happened. And I remember it was the Broncos who were trying to trade him. Or something. They didn't. John Elway did not want him in Denver anymore. Despite the fact that you guys are going to laugh. This is where the flashback came in. Despite the fact that Tim Tebow and the Broncos had won a playoff game in overtime against the Pittsburgh Steelers. And there had been a lot of excitement. Tebow time. You know. You remember because you can have these flashbacks too. What year was it, though, that the Broncos were looking to trade Tim Tebow and the two options were the Jets or the Jaguars? And now he's with the Jaguars. It's nice when Urban Meyer can get you a gig, no?
Yes, that's only Urban Meyer, I guess, can bring someone back from 9 years ago.
9 years ago,
yep. He was with the Jets in 2012.
It was pre- me at CBS Sports Radio. And the reason I remember it, Dave, you're going to want to hear the story. I don't think I've told it in a really long time, but I will, even though it's embarrassing. Well, it's not embarrassing if you're a fan of a particular team. I'm sure every fan has had this kind of a crazy moment where they've completely lost their minds over something super amazing that just happened on the field, the court, the ice. So here's why I remember that it was pre-CBS Sports Radio. Because I happened to be working that afternoon when the Broncos were playing the Steelers in the, it was the wild card round of the playoffs. And I got to work. I got into my studio. I was already at work. I was watching the game at work. But I went into the studio where I'd be hosting my show on my previous network as the game's going into overtime. And I did that specifically so that I could be alone because I'm not great at watching really tense sports moments with other people. I tend to say things or act weird, and so I just think it's better if I'm by myself. And since I had to be at work, I was in a studio. Now, the studio is soundproof, but it has windows, right? There's similar to what producer Dave and I have right now. It's an entire wall of windows, double pane glass, where he is facing me. We can see each other, even though I'm in a soundproof room and theoretically he's in one. Though I tell you what, when the morning crew comes in and Boomer blasts his music, we can hear it through the walls. But anyway, so I'm in a studio where you can't hear me if you're outside the door, but you can see me from multiple vantage points. So of course, I've just copped this, for those of you who don't know, I've been a Broncos fan since age 13. So I'm watching this overtime develop, and Tebow connects with, who was the receiver? Oh my gosh, remind me.
That was Demaryius Thomas.
Demaryius Thomas, that's right. Oh my gosh, how could I forget? I can even see his face in my head. Anyway, so he connects with Demaryius Thomas, and then Thomas does the rest of the work, goes 80 freaking yards, and in overtime, because it's the first possession, the Broncos, just like that, stun the Steelers, and it's done. So I am watching Thomas run up the field. I'm starting to scream. I'm jumping up and down like a complete and total lunatic. And as he gets into the end zone, I start freaking out and running laps around my studio. I was so excited and screaming so loud, I peed my pants. I'm only going to tell you that once. You're never going to hear it again. But I'm just going to tell you the truth. I couldn't help it. I couldn't go to the bathroom, of course, because it's overtime. And you know what's going to happen. And so, yes, at work, at my previous network, in a studio, I lost control of my mind and my bladder and peed my pants because I was so excited and I was running around like a complete and total idiot. And of course, as I look up, once I stop screaming, I look up and wouldn't you know that there are multiple producers on the other side of the glass looking at me, one of whom said to me afterwards, if I had had my cell phone video and had taken a video of you, I would have put it all over the internet. That was before Twitter was like huge. In fact, I think it was before, it might have been right after I joined Twitter. Anyway.
Yikes.
So I was having serious flashbacks, not only of peeing myself, but also of Tim Tebow getting, now at the time it was reported that the Broncos were allowing him to choose. Did he want to go to New York or did he want to go to Jacksonville? And if I remember correctly, I suppose we'll never really know the truth. But if I remember correctly, Tebow's camp, because he was such a budding star, which actually came back to bite him in the rear, because he was such a budding media star and a media darling, and because of all his endorsement opportunities, he wanted to be in New York. His camp wanted him to be in New York because of the opportunities that the Big Apple would afford to him instead of Jacksonville, even though there's a built-in fan base there for Tebow because he and Urban Meyer won two national championships together as Florida Gators, right? So it was his choice. But when I woke up on Monday, I'm thinking, wait a minute, what? Tebow's going to Jacksonville because 10 years later, that makes so much sense. Like, you could have been there. Who knows what would have happened if Tebow had chosen Jacksonville? He might have been the starter in Jacksonville as the quarterback because, well, it's the Jaguars, right? And it was, what year was Blake Bortles drafted? I mean, they might not have drafted Blake Bortles if they had Tim Tebow. Bortles was drafted in, I'm not even going to guess, 13? I don't remember. Anyway, it could have been Tim Tebow's legacy in Jacksonville.
His first season was in 2014, so yeah.
Oh, I was so close.
That season, yeah.
I was so close. So anyway, that's the flashback I got when I woke up on Monday thinking, come on, everything that's old is new again. And the more things change, the more they stay the same. Welcome back, Tim Tebow. Kind of. So we'll explain. But here's my question to you. He's divisive, and it's not really fair to Tim. There's nothing about Tebow that you can say is bad. That's such a ridiculous word. But he's a great guy. I mean, he's a good ambassador, really, everywhere he goes. He does these incredible charitable projects all over the world. You may have heard about some of them. He obviously has written books and he does public speaking and he's extremely popular. But because he's so popular, for a time, he was getting headlines for no reason, like his minor league baseball career, right? Like how many minor league baseball players have ever gotten the coverage that he has at the A level? But because of all that attention, there were fans who despised him. Not because of him personally, but just because of the exhaustive media coverage. I find it kind of comical, actually. It's the Tim Tebow phenomenon. But here's my question. If he actually makes the Jaguars roster, will that cause you to pay more attention to Jaguars football? If Tim Tebow gets into an NFL game, try to tell me that you wouldn't want to see him play tight end. He's never played tight end, ever. He always resisted switching to tight end, which is another part of this that's so humorous. But he could at some point. I'm just saying is all. He could be catching passes from Trevor Lawrence. Is it the whole thing's just weird? It's just weird. But you're welcome, Tim Tebow, courtesy of Urban Meyer. Anyway, he may or may not make the active roster because they're already, count them, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 tight ends on the Jaguars roster right now. So he may not. But sometimes we say in sports, as well as in sports broadcasting, it's not about what you know, it's about who you know. He's an incredible athlete. He's in amazing shape. He actually is built more like a tight end than a quarterback, in my opinion. And he's retired from baseball, which means he's got time. Flashbacks, serious flashbacks of peeing. That's all I'm going to say. Never telling that story again, ever. Can we strike it for the record? Can we?
That is weird.
Whatever. Don't try to act like you've never peed yourself when you got excited. Maybe you were 7 at the time, but still. All right. On that note, I really should be more careful about the stories I tell. Coming up next, huge victory for the Golden State Warriors, though it didn't have to be quite so dramatic. And also, Russell, I almost said Russell Wilson. Mr. Unlimited. No, not you. Not this time. Russell Westbrook with yet another massive step up in the NBA history books.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Eight on the shot clock. Clarkson comes to get it. Working one-on-one. Not a great light shot clock player. ISO, pullback three. Yes! Oh, my goodness. Jordan Clarkson is in a different place, a different time, and a different zone. He's got 41.
Curry gets the pick from Draymond. Splits traffic, steps into a three. It's up and no good. Rebound deflected away. Looney hustles it down. Back up to Draymond. 15 seconds left. Curry for three right side. Got it! Nailed it! Timeout, Utah. Warriors up one, but there's 13.4 left on the clock.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Talk about a roller coaster ride. Woo, the second half between the Warriors and the Jazz. If that sets us up for the Western Conference playoffs, I am in. I am all in. First, David Locke on the Jazz Radio Network with the go-ahead tray by a Jordan Clarkson who was hot to trot in the second half. He powered the comeback from down 18 to up 2 in the final minute. But then, yes, we give Steph Curry credit for the three that he made the second time. But how about the offensive rebound for Kevon Looney that assured he would get another chance? And then Jordan Clarkson had an opportunity in the final 13 seconds, but he missed. And Draymond Green got the rebound and the Warriors pick up a big victory. Do you know they've won the season series against the top team in the NBA? It's kind of crazy, right? But they've won their last two against the Utah Jazz, who are sitting on 50 wins. So I say in the final week of the NBA regular season that more of the Warriors is a good thing because they play a fun brand of basketball and they're not wiping teams off the court anymore. They don't have the ability right now. And so it makes for some fun fourth quarters with the ball in Steph's hands. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Coming up in 10 minutes. Well, you know, it's probably more like 12. Coming up in 12 minutes, Ryan Covey of the Warriors flagship in the Bay Area, 95.7 The Game. He will join us and we'll talk Warriors roller coaster season, but also I got to ask him, what's the bigger story right now? Is it Steph and Golden State trying to get into the postseason and secure a spot in these final few days, or is it the Niners quarterback? Controversy? Can we call it a controversy? It may be contrived, but it's still a big topic of conversation. So we'll ask him when Ryan joins us following the update at the bottom of the hour. 855-212-4227. Keep that toll-free line handy. And then on Twitter, A-Law Radio, producer Dave has put up what we consider to be a very serious show question. Also on our Facebook page, question and photos as well. I finally put them up from vacation. So yes, you can be proud of me. I am proud of myself. It's not as easy as you think to get them all organized and figure out what to share with you. But back to the history at hand. Russell Westbrook. This guy is, love him or hate him, he is a stats machine. And he's been climbing the ladder in terms of career triple-doubles until finally he stands alone.
Now right of lane, Gallinari with his back to Hutchinson, edges in the paint, turns, shoots. That's in and out. Thought about going down. Now Russell Westbrook does have his 10th rebound. So Russell Westbrook has done it. The unbreakable record has been broken. He now has the most career triple-doubles in NBA history, 182. That was definitely history.
It's just a blessing, man. You know, you put so much into the game, you put so much time, you sacrifice so much to put into the game and to be able to just be mentioned with guys like Oscar and Magic and Jason Kidd and those guys is just something that I never would have dreamt about as a young kid growing up in L.A. And I'm truly grateful for moments like this and something that I should, normally I don't like to pat myself on the back, but tonight I will just because, you know, I'm so grateful for the ones before me and so blessed and thankful for the men above for allowing me to go out and do what I do. And, you know, I take this job very seriously, and I'm super grateful for all my teammates and coaches along my journey thus far. And special thanks to my family because they sacrificed so much of their time and energy away from me to allow me to do some of the things I'm able to do. You know, my wife, my kids, my mom, my dad, my brother, the sacrifices they have done is don't go unnoticed. And I'm just grateful for so many people. The list can go on. And, but I'm just appreciative of moments like this.
It feels like Russell Westbrook was accepting an award, although there are probably more people watching what he's doing now than watch the Academy Awards. So he earns his 182nd triple-double, which surpasses the great Oscar Robertson going back to March of 1974. Can you believe, though, that Robertson had been the all-time leader in the category in the 60s? So he was still accumulating triple-doubles by the time he got into the 70s, but he actually set the record and had owned the record going back to the 60s. So that's how long it took. Amazing. Congratulations to Russell Westbrook. I know he's an acquired taste. Not everybody loves him, but here's the deal. If he's on your team, you're all about it. Nobody wants to face him. He's a great two-way player. He's tenacious. He's ferocious. He's got facial expressions to match his intensity, and he demands that everyone around him raise the level of play. No doubt the pressure off of Bradley Beal and the attention to Russell Westbrook has allowed Beal to get free for all these points that he's been scoring this season. So and Washington did lose to Atlanta. However, the Wizards are right there in that number 10 spot, hanging on by a thread in the Eastern Conference. So congratulations to Russ, the call there on the Wizards Radio Network. But next, we're going to revert back to the Western Conference, the Wild Wild West. The Warriors, they are riding the wave, baby, the Steph Curry wave. But is it as big a story in the Bay Area as the Niners? We're going to find out.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Curry gets the pick from Draymond. Splits traffic, steps into a three. It's up and no good. Rebound deflected away. Looney hustles it down. Back up to Draymond. 15 seconds left. Curry for three right side. Got it! Nailed it! Timeout Utah. Warriors up one, but there's 13.4 left on the clock.
I mean, it's a good test. We know that they're missing two guys that'll probably be around when the playoffs start, you know, with Donovan and Mike Conley, but they have been playing well. You look at teams' track records over the last five, last seven games, whatever, and they've been playing really well. So it's not like they're any slouch when, you know, without those two guys.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Now the Warriors had a front row seat to what Jordan Clarkson can do as they brought the Jazz all the way back from 20 points down. And yet Warriors in the end get the huge three from Steph and a couple of critical rebounds to hang on for dear life. Tim Roy on the Warriors Radio Network, and then Steph Curry, who finished with 36 points and 6 assists. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. In the Bay Area, we're pleased to welcome Ryan Covey, who is pre- and post-host and also an evening host on 95.7 The Game, the Warriors' flagship. And Ryan, we were just talking about this. It didn't need to be quite so dramatic, but it was a great ending for the Warriors in front of their fans at Chase Center. What the heck happened in the fourth quarter when they lost almost a 20-point lead?
Yeah, well, Jordan Clarkson happened, first of all. He got red hot. And, you know, Amy, we've seen this script with the Warriors this year. They've had trouble closing out games. It's been more of a problem on the road, but you figured Utah would make their run. But you think, hey, they got to the point where Steph checks back in. You're thinking, oh, you coast through the last 6 minutes. But one thing we've learned with the Golden State Warriors this year, it's always going to be exciting, and it's always going to be interesting, because this team never makes it easy on themselves.
I know Steph Curry should get some credit and will get a lot of credit for that late three, but it came on an offensive rebound by Kevon Looney. And that's one thing that stuck with me about this particular game is how often the Warriors were able to grab big rebounds. Now, they ultimately got out-rebounded by the Jazz, but I felt like they were scrambling and they were scrapping for a lot of the plays that can go either way, the 50-50 plays.
Yeah, no question. And that's what you need if you're going to beat Utah. And the Warriors, you know, they've lost James Wiseman. They lost Marquise Chris at the beginning of the year. Kevon Looney's typically a guy that Kerr wants playing 18 to 20 minutes. He's been playing in excess of 30 just out of necessity. They got an eight-man rotation right now. And they've been, quite frankly, they've been awful offensive rebounding this year. They're the worst rebounding team in the NBA. So, and last time Rudy Gobert was in Chase Center, he had 29 rebounds. So it's been something that's plagued the Warriors, and they all have to rebound by committee and really have to kind of want it more. And that was a key example tonight and giving Steph a chance to reload. And you give Steph Curry two chances, he's probably going to knock one of them down.
So, Ryan, in the third quarter, they built a double-figure lead and played extremely well. When you think about the potential for this team, is that third quarter an example of what they're capable of when they're all playing at the highest level as a cohesive unit?
Yeah, it's team basketball. I mean, the Warriors are up there. They might be the top assist team in the NBA, top two. I think they've kind of fluctuated. Phoenix has been in there. They move the ball when they're at their best, and they're one of the best teams. They're top five in the NBA in opponent's field goal percentage. So when the Warriors are getting stops and they're getting out in transition, that's when Steve Kerr's offense is a beautiful thing. When they're pulling the ball out of their own net and they're dealing with set defenses and teams can trap Steph once he crosses center court, and he's got to work those little 1-2s with Draymond, that's when things can get a little bogged down. And at times there's a lot of sitting around watching Steph waiting for him to do the show. And quite frankly, the show has been incredible the last month and a half and really all year. But yeah, they still kind of go through those spells throughout games where they'll be, you know, in a good flow for a while, then they'll get bogged down. You give credit to the Jazz too. They can turn it up defensively like they did down the stretch. But yes, that third quarter for the Warriors is a prime example of how they can play when they're at their best, no doubt.
Ryan Covey is with us from the Warriors' home base, 95.7 The Game in the Bay Area. He is the pre- and post-host, and it's good to have him with us here after hours on CBS Sports Radio. You mentioned Steph, and I would say Draymond also in this category in terms of two established veteran stars who have really raised their level of play this year. So let's talk about the duo together because they need one another. How would you describe the second half of the season that they've had?
Yeah, they found another level, no question. And it's had a lot to do with Draymond's conditioning, Draymond's focus. He's the catalyst defensively, and the way him and Steph work in concert together, they've been doing it a long time, Amy. So this has been an important year for the Warriors, too. We know why the team only won 15 games last year in their first year at the Chase Center. You lose Klay Thompson for a second consecutive year. So you start looking around, no Andre Iguodala, no Livingston, no David West, no Kevin Durant. Draymond, Steph, and then Kevon Looney, they're the only holdovers from the championship team. So those guys have taken it upon themselves to make sure that this team wasn't going to be out of the playoffs. They're at least going to be in the play-in tournament. They're eyeballing that eighth seed right now. They control their own destiny. So you got to give these guys a lot of credit. They're playing with an eight-man rotation right now, so it's been a lot of Dre and a lot of Steph. We'll see how far this goes. I think Warriors-Lakers in a play-in tournament would be pretty fun. You know, that 7-8 matchup, we're all looking forward to that in California. But, yeah, I think Steph gets all the national attention, and Draymond, outside of the Bay, is perceived as a bit of a villain. But make no mistake about it, he is the key to success defensively and then moving the ball and helping Steph get free for all those threes.
Right now, the Warriors with three consecutive wins, and they are three games above 500, which should tell you something about what the season's been like. Relatively inconsistent. And yet, I like the fight from this team. Now, Steve Kerr has indicated that the team has come a long way this year, Ryan. What does he mean by that?
Well, early in the year, you know, the team against upper-tier opposition, quite frankly, they had a lot of blowout losses. I mean, the first couple games of the year, the Nets and Milwaukee put it on them. The Clippers got them. You know, the Lakers, the Jazz, they've been trounced by, you know, top-quality opposition. They didn't have a resume win for a long time over an upper echelon team. Second half, you know, it started with a win over Milwaukee at home. They've beaten the Jazz a couple times, couple wins over the Nuggets. So he kept saying that he felt like, this team going on a run was imminent. The problem was, they kept losing all these games on the road that they had the lead late. I mean, the late game execution has plagued this team. They could easily have three or four more wins, but you are what your record says you are at this time of year. So thankfully that run did come here at the end of the year. And you know, they've got the Suns tomorrow night, but then you finish up with the Pelicans and then what's probably going to be a big game with the Grizzlies. All, you know, outside of the Suns game, you think the last two particularly winnable. So, you know, Kerr said he felt like a run was coming, and, you know, eventually it did come, but still just a couple of games over 500, and you feel like this team could have done a little more, but hey, they are where they are right now for a reason.
Ryan Covey is with us from the Bay Area on the Warriors flagship, 95.7 The Game. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. So then you mentioned the Lakers, who right now as the defending champs are in that 7-10 tournament. But how dangerous can the Warriors be with two players who have so much championship experience?
Well, I don't think anybody wants to see him. I mean, you know, we heard LeBron, you know, about a week or 10 days ago or so lamenting the notion of the play-in tournament. And, you know, it sounds like he's going to be back for that Knicks game. AD's back. So the Lakers still have a couple of games left to get their groove back before, you know, the playoffs or the play-in tournament begins. It would be a free roll for the Warriors, to be honest, in that 7-8 game. I mean, the Lakers would be a heavy favorite in Staples. But, you know, Steph Curry can get rolling. Warriors have shown they can go into Staples and beat them. They did it on the MLK holiday. So I don't think if you're the Lakers, you thought you'd be in a situation where you'd have to deal with the Warriors, where if you lose that game, then you're facing elimination in that next game. But, you know, it would just be a free roll for the Warriors. And then if they weren't able to beat the Lakers, you would still get the winner of the Memphis, probably San Antonio game for another chance to get through to the postseason. So and then, you know, if you get there, it would be Jazz Warriors as the 1-8. Yep. Utah's just lost two in a row to the Warriors the last two times they've played them. So I know the Jazz don't want to see the Warriors either. Let's face it, nobody wants to see a scorching Steph Curry in a postseason series as an 8 seed. That just doesn't seem fair to the top teams. But, hey, bring it on.
Although you can imagine that's exactly what the league would like for more games featuring Steph Curry. Now, my mom is convinced. I tell her it's not true, Ryan. My mother is convinced that the NBA is rigged. So I imagine if they could rig it, that's exactly what they would want.
Of course. Yeah. I mean, usually it's the 1-8 is a formality, and maybe that 8 seed pushes them to 5 or 6 games. But the We Believe Warriors that upset the Mavericks so many years ago for a lot of years, that was what Warriors fans hung their hat on. That was their crowning achievement before, you know, the 5 straight finals and the 3 titles. I just think the way Steph's playing right now and Draymond, you know, being that catalyst defensively, Andrew Wiggins has had a great 2-way season for this basketball team. They would be dangerous. Now, would they be favored? Do I think they could win one of those series? That might be a big ask, but I certainly think they could at least stretch it to 6 games, kind of the way the Clippers did to the Warriors in that first-round series that last year they went to the finals. Clippers pushed that series to 6 games, and they were a tough out, and the Warriors felt that the rest of the postseason, having to play a couple extra games. And I think the Warriors could certainly make one of those top seeds in the West work if they want to advance to the second round. And yeah, the Warriors could upset them. Stranger things have happened.
So, Ryan, what's the bigger story in the Bay Area right now? Is it the Warriors in this final week of the NBA season and the way Steph is playing? Or is it the drama surrounding the Niners quarterback situation?
It's juicy. It's close. I would probably still lean Niners because everybody's still buzzing about Trey Lance and how's he going to work with Jimmy Garoppolo? What's his relationship like with Kyle Shanahan? Expectations are high for the 49ers. But I would say if the Warriors get into the playoffs and start making a little noise, that might pass the 49ers because we're still a few months out from training camp. But I would still say it's advantage 49ers right now. That was a big boy move by Lynch and Shanahan moving up to get Trey Lance. And by the way, everybody thought they were going to draft Mac Jones and they were going to lose their mind. So basically, I think the Bay Area is still catching their collective breath that they drafted Trey Lance instead of Mac Jones. Mac Jones would have been apocalyptic reaction in the Bay Area based on the calls that we took at 95.7. So Niners now, but the Warriors get in the postseason. Steph and Draymond could retake that mantle pretty quickly.
All right, then, before I let you go, do you believe Niners fans, and you have your finger on the pulse there in the Bay Area, do you believe Niners fans are more Team Jimmy or Team Trey?
Boy, I would say Team Trey. Now, Jimmy, I would say, and look, Jimmy's 22-8 as a starter, but he's been injured 2 of the last 3 years, and they've had to watch C.J. Beathard and Nick Mullins try and run Kyle Shanahan's offense, and I think there's just a real frustration from this fan base because Kyle Shanahan's offense is innovative, and but you need a quarterback, and it's not a knock on Jimmy. It's just he hasn't been available. Meanwhile, we've seen, you know, Jimmy over the years, too, throw some tough interceptions. He had his chance in the fourth quarter to become a 49ers legend in the Super Bowl against the Chiefs. Didn't happen. Now, the 49ers did give up 3 touchdowns in that fourth quarter. But I think Jimmy bears a lot of the brunt. So, you know, it's when they win and things go well, he gets all the praise. And when they don't, well, he gets the blame. And, you know, last year he got hurt. So I think maybe 49ers fans are ready for that next young quarterback to build around, not Jimmy Garoppolo making $25 million a year to play like five games.
They know a rookie quarterback has never won the Super Bowl, right?
Yes, yes, they do. And if they forget, I make sure to remind them, Amy, absolutely. So, yeah, careful what you wish for rushing Jimmy G out of town. I'm a Jimmy fan. I think he deserves one more shot. I would have preferred that they went and, you know, drafted and got him some more offense or even added to that D-line with that 12th pick. But they moved up to 3 and swung big, and Kyle at least is going to get his guy now for the next couple of years. And so I'm excited to see what that looks like, because Jimmy Garoppolo, that was always John Lynch's guy. He got that deal done with the Patriots. So I'm interested to see what it looks like with Kyle with his guy in this offense. It's going to be great drama either way. Mm,
for sure. You can find Ryan on Twitter at Ryan Covey, C-O-V-A-Y. You can hear him on 95.7 The Game, nights in the Bay Area, as well as pre and post with the Warriors as they work their way into the NBA postseason. It's great to catch up with you. Thank you so much for a couple of minutes.
Always a pleasure, Amy. Be well. Big fan.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. 95.7 The Game. Lots of listeners in the Bay Area, as well as then, of course, KNBR, which is a blowtorch in the Bay Area. However you listen, whether it's SiriusXM, whether you follow along on the CBS Sports Radio website, or if you use a variety of free apps like what used to be radio.com, now it's Odyssey, but you can still use radio.com. It's much easier to say and much easier to spell. however you listen, we are thrilled to have you on board with us on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. We've got our Tim Tebow question up, and true to form from 10 years ago, from 5 years ago, he is still a lightning rod. And very divisive, though I'm not sure that's all Tebow's fault. It's just one of those things. It's just how we are. It's either love him for what he stands for and for his story, or hate him. But sports hate is generally jealousy. I mean, for heaven's sakes, the man is married to Miss Universe. Well, now she's Mrs. Universe. He's got a pretty incredible story, but people just get tired of hearing about him. So flashbacks from 10 years ago. Will you watch a Jaguars game just to see Tebow back in uniform?
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.